This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Today, we're talking about awakening wonder in the city. You know, when we launched this series a few weeks ago, I said this, that the wonder, just the ability to appreciate what God has done in giving us new life in Jesus. Sometimes we lose that. We lose the focus of that. We get kind of dull. We go through the motions, and we fail to grasp what it means to be alive in Jesus. And I'm telling you, if our wonder were awakened today, I'd have to have you all be like, come on now, I need to talk now, so you need to kind of calm down just a little bit, but not too much. You know, I had so much fun when I went to Birmingham. The churches down there are just, you know, Southern churches are just like, I enjoy them because they're loud and they talk back to the preacher. So I'm telling you, I'm jealous of that. So when you talk back to me in a kind way, all right, then it lets me know that you're awake and you're engaged. So if I say something that makes sense, you say, that's right, Pastor, go on, preach that, say that, that's right, that's good. You say those kinds of things, I know that we're connecting today. If you notice, I modeled that last Sunday for James. Did you notice that? So My example that you can lead today. The others in our city that we're to awaken, those are the people that we encounter every day in our workplaces, in our jobs, at school, in our neighborhoods. I believe God wants to awaken us, wants us to be focused on this great life that he's given us so that we can help others lead them into that same life. And honestly, if we aren't experiencing that, we can't lead people into anything. So I'm hoping that today we get a vision for what God wants to do in our city. That's my purpose today. We're called to love our city. But what does loving your city look like? You know, this is one of my favorite topics. I really love our city. I love the fact that we've been called here specifically. Chris and I learned years ago that if you don't love your city, God won't give you your city. So you have to love your city. That was a great amen line right there. If you don't love your city, God won't give you your city. Do you want this city? Do you want this to be a city under God's control? Then you need to love your city. And how? Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. So what does that look like? How does that express itself? This is a loud church. We don't apologize for that. Maybe this will help you today. Think of your city not as a what, but a who. Think of your city not as a what, but a who. Cities have personalities. Cities have specific callings and giftings. You know, does God give an individual a specific purpose and calling and gifting? Okay. Then he also gives cities the same thing. That might help you in approaching this relationship with your city. God loves the city the same way he loves individuals. He put St. Joseph here for a purpose. I love where we're planted. I love that God put us right here where the city began. And can I just say this? It's not about restoring a historic building, which I love doing that. But that's not the point. The point is we want to bring the kingdom to this city. And to go back to the roots and to discover God's original redemptive purposes, I just get pumped about that. Because I think it gives us clues as to what was St. Joe put on the map for. Our city is a who in the eyes of God, not just a what. God loves individuals. He also loves cities. Can people get off track and miss the purposes of God in their life? They can. Cities can too. And I believe ours has in many ways. And we can point to the negatives. My goodness. I mean, it's your call, right? If you don't see the negatives, just read that. Don't read that thing. It's like, it's easy to point out the problems. But the wise man looks to be part of the solution, not just talk about the problems. And that's what I believe we can do as a city. It's never too late to rediscover your purpose that God planted you for. Never too late to repent of the way you've gone astray and to get back on track. You can do that individually, and you can do that as a city. I believe that. That's what transformation is all about. And we're seeing it happen around the globe, some incredible stories of what God is doing in cities around the world that are daring to discover their original purpose and ask God to forgive them and to set them on the right course. Here's what I believe. The way you help an individual discover their original call, be healed from the ways that you know they've gotten off track or made mistakes, and to get back on course, it's the same way we do it for a city. And, you know, I don't claim to be the expert, but I'm looking at a lot of people around the country who are tapping into something that God's allowed them to bring a redemptive restoration to their city's purpose and intent. And I think we can be a part of that in our city. That's I believe, what our purpose is. The book of Daniel is a story of a young man who was called to be a leader of his people. And he was put in a very challenging situation. At the time of Daniel, the nation of Israel had gone astray. They had left the ways of God, and they were taken captive into Babylon. So he was in a very, very corrupt and evil society Daniel was living in. And the nation had been carried away into this captivity because of their sin. And we can learn from Daniel how he responded, how he took God's call, his challenge to take the situation and represent God in the middle of that. And like Daniel, we are called to be leaders in our day, in our society, to be difference makers. We're not just to be victims of the culture around us. We're to be culture shapers. And instead, we've kind of abdicated that role. Before we can accept the call and move forward and be effective, we've got to know what it means to effectively love your city. And can I just say this from the get-go? It involves praying for your city, all right? Right out of the gate, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, is it involves praying for your city. And we're going to see Daniel's example here. Although Daniel's city was different from ours, the same principles that Daniel applied are the same ones that we can use today. But we're not going to the book of Daniel to look at them. We want to see how God called Daniel to pray for his city and how he's calling us to love and pray for our city. So we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah. In fact, if you'll turn there with me, Jeremiah has the words that Daniel used. In fact, it says in Daniel chapter 9, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, Daniel was looking at the words of Jeremiah the prophet written long before the captivity of Israel, but prophetically announcing, hey, this is what's going to happen. And when this happens, here's how you respond. Daniel's captive in Babylon. Get the picture. He's in a pagan culture. He's relying on the words of the prophet to guide him and how he should respond as the people of God. It kind of sounds like our situation, right? We're in a place that really, this culture isn't really too excited about serving God. In fact, it's probably very similar to what Daniel experienced in Babylon. And we too have to rely on God's word, on how we are to operate as a people. We can apply the same principles that Daniel applied here in Jeremiah 29, verses 7 through 9. He says this, pray to the Lord for the city. Hallelujah. There you go. Pray to the Lord for the city. Why? Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, I could stop there and preach the message, but I'm not going. I'm going to keep going because there's an important lesson that follows this. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Now, we've got two thoughts here we have to unpack. We need the Holy Spirit's help, so let's pray. God, thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for the love you have for this city. Thank you that even today, Lord, you allowed us to sing the word that you spoke over this church about our roots, Lord, not going deep, but going up. We want to be grounded in truth today, Lord. Truth is found in you. So Jesus, today, would you reveal your word to us and how we apply that to not only our lives individually, but to the city you've called us to and the people that are waiting for someone to rise up and represent the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So you got to know this, that the voices at the time of Daniel, the voices of the religious community were prophesying bad things. They were saying, this society is waste. Forget about it. Abandon this place. Get out of here. They were saying, move outside the city. Protect yourself from this evil culture. Hunker down. Right? Store up food, get yourself a bunker, blast scathing rebukes on Facebook about this culture. Basically a hunker down kind of mentality, not faith-filled at all, but just declaring doom and gloom. And can I just say this? It doesn't take any sense at all to see the problems around you. That doesn't take any sense at all. I mean, it's easy to see the problems. But God's looking for somebody who'll be part of the solution. You know, people like to pronounce judgment on America and talk about all the bad things. And yeah, it's true. But can I tell you this? I don't know that being negative and critical is necessarily biblical. That's not what the word of the Lord said to Daniel, was it? What did he tell Daniel to do? Pray for the city so that they may what? Prosper. God wants the city to prosper. But it's an evil culture. What's that about? Well, how about we find out what Daniel was all about? God was urging them to pray for their city. It's counterintuitive. In fact, it goes so against the religious mindset, it makes people crazy. Can I say this? Jesus was killed for a counterintuitive approach to people in trouble. To the woman caught in adultery, he wasn't throwing rocks, was he? He was loving. He was having compassion on her. He told her, go and sin no more. He told her the truth. But he did it in love. Today, I think we as Christians are so guilty of just picking up rocks and ready to hurl them. And oftentimes at each other, certainly at the things we see around us. And thank God, Daniel had a little different mentality, a little more mature mentality. God actually told Daniel to pray. His desire was that the city, this wicked place that he was in captivity, God said, pray that it will prosper. That's a mind change for a lot of us. That God would use us, in fact, to be a blessing to the city, the place that we are at. Praying that not that the city would be judged, but that the city would move back to God. The city would return. That God would move in that city. That as they moved closer as a people into the city, wrap themselves up in the culture of that city, not being involved in the evil, but not extricating themselves to a point of saying, well, you're on your own. Good luck with that. You deserve the judgment of God. People of compassion move close with hearts that represent the heart of the Father. I mean, I tell you what, if you haven't wept over your city yet, you don't love your city. And I'm not saying that in a condemning way. I'm just saying that's the kind of heart. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, right? I mean, I think a few tears are healthy. I think if it doesn't break your heart, the things that break God's heart, then we need a softening of our hearts. According to God's instruction, we're not to have a bad attitude about our city, to become negative, judgmental, critical, pointing the finger in judgment. You know, even as I say this, I feel like the enemy, you know, he's not very original, but he sure is effective because he's been using the same strategy for generations. He gets us in a place where we forget our place in culture, and instead we become the critics. We become the rock throwers. Man, if you've not seen it in our city with the school district situation, I don't know what other example I could give you. I mean, if people spent half the time praying that they do criticizing, come on now. This would be a different place. But it's so easy to jump on the negative bandwagon. I'm not absolving anyone of anything. There's bad stuff. I'm not denying that. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. But I'm saying God's looking for people who represent his heart. Be redemptive in a situation. Bring a godly solution. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the devastation, we're called to put our lives on the line and make our city a place of blessing. Instead, we curse our city. We do, with our negativity. I never had seen it so clearly as when I came back from living away. And it was just shocking. It was a culture shock. Hearing the conversations in the checkout lines at the store, you know, listening to people's conversations. Even how they would be derogatory toward other people. It's just like, you really see then how the enemy is at work. And what his plan is to kill and destroy, right? That's his plan. Devastation, destruction. And that's not God's plan. Most Christians, though, don't get this. We tend to live on two extremes. We live on the extreme of either we get wrapped up in the culture and we just follow the ways of the world, or we get so negative and critical that we isolate and separate ourselves so we can't make a difference. You know, Christians love to quote that line, right? That we're in the world, but not of the world. You right? Isn't that what everybody likes to quote? And now to get a lot of hearty amens. Why are we supposed to be in the world but not of the world? Well, okay, I get it that we're not supposed to be of the world and, you know, not mirror the values and follow the world's ways of doing things. But what about the first part? What about the in the world part? We are so quick to jump on the we're not of the world. But well, then what are we? We're just the knots, right? We're the knotheads. That's what we are. It's like we're all about not, not, not. Do not do this and do not do that and they're not that. And it's like, what about the ends? We're supposed to be in the world, right? I mean, we're here. We're physically in. But are we a part of what's going on around us? Are we intentionally being salt and light? That's what I'm talking about today. Loving your city by being salt and light. Not separating yourselves. I'm not, you know, being critical about, you know, people that, like monks and those kind of guys. It's like whatever they want to do. But if we all isolated and separated ourselves from the world, where would the influence be? Where would the flavor be? Where would the opportunity to love people be? To be involved in their lives and be around them. We're to love the city of man for the sake of the heart of God. We live in the city of man, but we carry the heart of God. How many of you know that the city of man desperately needs the heart of God? Amen. And we carry the heart of God with us everywhere that we go. So to be negative and critical cuts us off from the opportunity to influence. And, you know, I guess over the past 7-8 years as a pastor of a church in the city, I've had a chance to put my money where my mouth is, you know. There's even churches that I don't necessarily agree with everything that they do. I'm not called to do it the way they are, but I'm also not called to tear them down. I mean, we are the worst at shooting our wounded. We are the worst at that. Let alone loving the people that don't have Jesus, but yet, you know, we live in a place where, let's face it, not everybody around us carries the same values that we do. So we have the opportunity to represent Jesus. I mean, Daniel, interesting, Daniel even to the point of having two names, right? He had his Hebrew name Daniel. The Hebrew name Daniel means God is my judge. He was also given a name in his land of captivity, a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, which means Baal is my God. Wow. And instead of being bitter and critical, he gained favor with the king, right? Remember Daniel in the lion's den, that whole story? It's like he was a man who refused to bow. He wouldn't compromise his principles, but he also had great favor with the leaders of that land. He was well-loved. He had influence. That's exactly who we're supposed to be. Not people who bend our will and accept the values of the culture as ours. We take our stand, but we do it in a way that creates influence and favor with people around us. I think Daniel was an amazing, fully functioning, prophetic voice in his culture, representing the heart of God. He was completely devoted to God, the true God of Israel. There was no compromise in him whatsoever. But he also understood his role to diligently serve in the secular environment he was in, serving a pagan king. And he did so with integrity. And he found favor and he was able to influence his culture. That's, I believe, our call as well. It doesn't matter what city we live in. You know, we're not in Daniel's city. We're in our city. But God loves St. Joseph, and St. Joseph has her problems. There is corruption and brokenness and sin all around us. But our call as a follower of Jesus is to bring the kingdom of heaven into this place. That is our call, to bring the kingdom of heaven into this place. Can we read that line together? Your call as a follower of Christ is to bring the kingdom of heaven to your city, whatever city you live in. If it's St. Joe, if it's Savannah, if it's Wathena, come on now. The kingdom needs a representation in each of those places. And if we don't do it, it won't happen. And yes, there's wickedness and there's stuff. And Daniel paid a dear price for his determination to be a man of God. But he also found favor because he was called to love those folks as Jesus loved them. We're called to pray. Pray for prosperity in the city God places you. It's counterintuitive to the Christian intelligence. It doesn't feel natural, but it's because we're not to live by the natural. We live by the supernatural. God, give us love for the people around us, love for those in authority that we're to be praying for. It'll cost you something. There's a self-sacrifice involved. Jesus demonstrated that. There are several ways in the natural. If you're in the business community, there are several ways you can do that, how you can bring your influence. How about we do this as a team? Move your appointments away from the business office and put them out someplace in the community. Like we do our leadership team meetings at Panera. And we like being in the community. And it's interesting that the comments we get back from that, people saying it's really awesome to see people praying in public. Right? Because we're there as a team. We're a pretty good sized group. And people have made comments. It was so cool to see you all bowed in prayer there in the middle of Panera. See, we're getting out of the four walls and we're making influence wherever we go. There are many of you that work in the workplace, and I know that you're a light there, and I appreciate that. I would encourage you, keep it up. Know your job is to love, to pray for prosperity. What if we connected with community leaders and asked them, how can we help? How can we help you achieve your goal, your heart for our city? Instead of being grumpy, you know, when we started this work down here, we had a lot of mixture with the city government leaders, and some of it was tense. And we were told, listen, don't stop. Keep coming, because all we hear are the grumpy voices. If you go to a city council meeting, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It is ugly. I wouldn't want to be on that city council for anything, because all they do is put up with gripe all day long. You can't make everybody happy. No matter what you do, you're going to stir somebody up. I was like, that kind of sounds like a preacher's job, right? It's like you're going to make somebody happy. You're going to offend somebody. You got to go with what's in your heart. And to connect with those leaders, let them know that we're praying for them. How amazing would that be? Or this, that we also practice as a church, using our facilities as a way to bless our community. I love doing that. Here about 2 weeks ago, we had a percussion recital. Will's in the percussion program at Missouri Western. So a couple of the students had their junior recital right here on our platform. I just think that's awesome, because people get a chance to be exposed to our building and say, how cool is that? When is your service? When do you guys meet? That's an amazing way for us to impact our community. That's why I want to get in that bigger room, because there's so many things I would love to do. We were asked to host a National Day of Prayer event this year. We just couldn't because we don't have the room. We will in there. In the fall, in October, we're planning to host a barbershop chorus event. I want to do that in the worst way. It's like we should be a part of those kinds of family-friendly events in the community. We should be a place where people could come to and enjoy that, but we can't facilitate it yet. That's why I'm just so anxious and eager to get in the place next door. You think of ways we can honor and bless our community leaders, to be a part of a positive change in our city. I got to tell you this, we are doing that. In fact, even today, Matt left the platform, and he's gone now. He's gone over to Clare United Methodist Church because that pastor and I are in relationship. He contacted Zach and said, we need a worship team for today. Can you help? So Matt and Tara are on their way to Clare United Methodist Church to lead worship for them today. How cool is that? How cool is that? Come on, we've got a real gift here, a real treasure. We've got to share it with the city. And I think it's so awesome that we can have a kingdom heart like that. It's not all about us. It's about the kingdom in this city advancing. I love it. This past Monday, you got to know this, we were recipients of a blessing. St. Joe Christian students on their work day came here, and you just got to know this. Every one of your seats has been vacuumed thoroughly, all right? One of the girls said, you either have cats in this building or your people are hairy people. It's like you're shedding or something. I don't know. Sucked a bunch of hair and stuff off of your seats. It's like they served us. They swept this entire room and that room out there. They pulled weeds out on the sidewalk. They picked up trash at Riverfront Park. They served and blessed us. See, we're a part of a greater kingdom movement in this city. When you bless others, then you get a blessing. That's how that works. And we want to be generous with the resources God has given us. We're doing that Friday, May 6th. Is that right, Nancy? This Friday? We're up to Humboldt School. You know, we've adopted Humboldt School up the street as a way to bless them. And, you know, it's a school in a pretty poor neighborhood, doesn't have a whole lot of parental involvement. So when they have an event that we can come and be a part of and help them pull that off. So this Friday, we've got a team going up to help with their play day. So the kids will have an awesome day as they get ready to wrap up school. I think it's so awesome we get to go serve and be a blessing to that school, to those teachers, to those children. And we're making a difference by impacting the community like that. And that's exactly what Jesus told us to do. Matthew chapter 9, he said this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Guess who the laborers are that he was praying for? He was praying for us. Raise your hand. It's you. It's us. We're the laborers. Isn't it crazy that Jesus was basically saying, pray that we'll get this. He was praying for us. We would understand the opportunity that's before us. You know, I've said this before, that you know, the Bible doesn't say there's no tears in heaven. That was Eric Clapton, right? The Bible says that God will wipe away all the tears. So there's got to be tears to wipe away, correct? Right. Follow me here, logic. So why would we be weeping in heaven? My just theory is that when this life is over and the curtain is pulled back and we see reality, we realize how we missed it. The opportunities that God brought our way that we failed to take advantage of. And life is short, and we just don't know how much time we got. So we take advantage of every day, and we do what God said to do. We serve others and work in the harvest field. Today's May Day, right? I was looking up the meaning of May Day, and I found an interesting thing that today in the Catholic Church, today is the day to honor the patron saint of workers. Guess who that is? He was a carpenter. Joseph, St. Joseph. Isn't that crazy? It's like, yeah, I think maybe there's a connection there. Kind of got those Holy Ghost goosebumps when I saw that. It's like, St. Joseph, I think that maybe we're called to the worker, to be workers today. Called to the harvest field to make a difference. Charles Spurgeon said this, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Wow. I believe God's looking for people who'll be the real deal. Who'll do what he's called us to do. The fellow named Mac Peer, I did some research on people making a difference in their cities around the country. Mac is in New York City. And you wouldn't believe the stuff that they've seen happen in New York as leaders have come together as churches and taken God seriously at his word, prayed for their city. And here's some of the recommendations they have based on what they've seen. Number one, he said, spiritual leaders do what leadership requires. Someone said last week at the conference I went to, God loves your city more than you do. And it kind of bothered me a little bit. It kind of made me a little jealous, right? It's like, then I'm going to love as much as he does, which you know is impossible, right? But it kind of pricks your conscience. At the same time, it stirs you up. God loves your city more than you do. It's like, well, that's not right. I think we better amp up the love. We better crank it up a little bit. God's heart is for cities. All throughout Scripture, you see results. When God's men and women dared to pray for their city and get involved, and you see God doing supernatural things. He loves to partner with people who have a heart for their cities. I think that can be us. The second recommendation he gave was spiritual leaders value collaboration. Collaboration, you know, when we get in the hunker down mode and it's us four and no more, then we're in trouble. And especially true, you know, I've thought about this now. I've been a part of ministry. I started when I was 19 working in Christian radio. I've been in Christian ministry since I was 19, so a couple of years ago, you know, just a couple. And my entire career, I've been just captivated by the chance to work together across church and denominational lines. And honestly, God doesn't see church and denominations. God sees sons and daughters. He's believers in Jesus. And we may not do it the way they do it across the street. What does it matter? I love what Coach McCartney said years ago. If you love Jesus and you're born of his spirit, you're my brother, you're my sister. Everything else is secondary. And I believe that. But there are some people who will die for a particular, you know, doctrinal preference. And I'm just not there. That's right. That's why we're where we're at today. Because we're kingdom. You know, we love our city. We love people who love Jesus, and we're all on the same team. There's no separation. We're on the same team. We're for one another. I tell you what, if you can't be for someone, then just at least shut your mouth from talking negative, all right? If you can't be for them, at least shut up, because we don't want to hear your stuff. You're talking about Jesus' bride. Men, if someone talked about your bride, how would you respond? You'd punch him in the mouth, right? In Jesus' name. As well you should. That's how Jesus feels about his bride. We do so much better together than we do alone. That's the heart of God. The third recommendation he made was that spiritual leaders recognize the importance of unity. This was on Jesus' heart, John 17, my life verse, John 17, 24. Father, make them one. Why? So that the world will believe. See, the enemy is so good at what he does. When he gets us fussing and feuding with one another, then the world looks at that and says, why would I want any part of that? Amen. Instead, when they see our unity, they see our heart, that we love one another, they'll say, you know, I don't know what they believe over there, but that looks pretty good. I'll take some of that. It's like it puts the aroma, you know. You ever go downtown Kansas City and pass the Folgers plant on Broadway? Oh, my gosh. You're just like, where is it? Where is it? I got to have some of that. It's exactly what unity, what brotherhood, what being together draws the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God then draws men and women to that fragrance, that attraction. Matt told you this Thursday is National Day of Prayer. And I and dozens of other pastors around the city will be coming together at the Civic Arena. I love it that we have a mayor that considers this a priority. We haven't always had a mayor's prayer breakfast in St. Joe. This current mayor, this was something he initiated. And I would just say before that, mayors before him asked us as a church if we would coordinate pastors praying at every city council meeting. So did you know that for the past 10 years, your church has been coordinating pastors praying at every single city council meeting from all different churches? And that's a privilege that we have to coordinate with. And also every month, your church organizes a pastor's prayer gathering, and we meet at a different church every month. Did you know that went on? Every first Thursday, pastors of the city gathering together. And I'm not bragging and saying, well, we're all that because we organize it. I'm just saying somebody has to have a heart for that. That's a part of what your giving and stuff does. It allows us to have this ministry that is so, to me, centered in a kingdom view of St. Joseph, not just for restoration, but for the restoration of our city. That's really the goal, the big goal. So we'll be at City Hall, or I'm sorry, Civic Arena this Thursday. Hope you can come and be with us. Another thing I'm gonna plug. We've never done this before, so you're gonna have to help me out. Apple Blossom Parade. Oh, even as I say it, I get the shivers, right? It's like, I know that it's inconvenient. I know that it's usually cold and rainy. But I tell you what, thousands of people in St. Joseph will be lining the streets of downtown. Thousands. And for us to have a chance to build a relationship and be a blessing to our city, if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go out there and look at the buggy. It's not a wagon, it's a buggy. And you just got to take a look at the name on the side of the buggy. Has anybody read it yet? Who's it belong to? Dr. B.A. Blessing. I saw that and I said, I think that's ours. I think that's our buggy, you know. And I asked the guy that owned it. I bought it from a fellow in St. Louis. And Don and I went and picked it up Thursday. And I said, is that legit? Is that for real? He goes, all I can tell you is I bought it from a guy in Illinois. He said there was a Dr. Blessing in Illinois. So I looked it up. I Googled, right? I found Blessing Hospital in Quincy, Illinois, named for Dr. Blessing. So it's like, okay, I'll be a blessing. I'll do it, man. So what we're going to do is take our restoration theme and put it on display using that as a centerpiece. And we're going to do the theme of the parade this year is Under the Big Top. So, you know, I can find a way to make anything work, okay? So we're going to do the Wild Wild West Under the Big Top, all right? You remember the old Wild Wild West shows with Buffalo Bill and all that stuff, Annie Oakley, Calamity Jane? That's what we're doing. You got Annie Oakley right here in the front row, ladies and gentlemen, right here. Annie is here with us. What you don't know is Kay has made a career out of impersonating historical characters, and she is a character herself, all right? Got to say that. She knows so much about our city, has led tours of the history of our city, and so we're blessed to have Kay do that. And Dr. B.A. Blessing will be here in person. That's what I've heard. So rumor has it, we'll find out. But if you'll just come and dress in a Wild West character costume and throw candy and bean kids in the eye with it, you know, that'll be a lot of fun. So if you want to come, there's information in your worship guide today about what to do, where to be, all that good stuff. It's a lot of organization, but I'm telling you, I think it's an opportunity for us to connect people to this amazing project and to tell them that we love them. The opportunity to just join hands and say, we're for our city. We want to bless our city. Come on, say amen to that. We love our city. We want to bless our city. And then tonight, you know, it all begins with prayer. That's where we started this message. Daniel prayed for his city to prosper. Tonight, we're going to do that. Tonight's a sanctuary night. It's our twice monthly time to get together, to spend time in worship, and to really seriously hunker down and just seek God, cry to God, say, God, bless our city. That's what we're going to pray for tonight. We're going to pray for our city. I want to have a list of all the city council members and every person in authority that we can pray specifically by name for tonight. To not pray curses on our city, not to pray that God would judge our city for its wickedness, but say, cry out in desperation, oh God, would you visit this city? Would your heart for this city become our heart? I want to be on fire. I want to be aflame with God's passion for St. Joe. And that's exactly what I believe we can do tonight at our sanctuary gathering. If you have a specific prayer need, we also will pray for that. Remember our prayer kiosk over in the corner by where Don's standing. You can put your prayer need on that tag, stick it on there, and we'll pray for that tonight as well. But if you can come back tonight at 6:30 and join us in praying for our city, praying for one another, this is what the Apostle Paul told us to do. 1 Timothy 2. He said, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That, I believe, is the heart of God. What a privilege we have, church. Not just to sit and go to church, but to be the church. Whether it's up the hill at Humboldt School on Friday, whether it's marching the streets of St. Joe and having some fun, connecting with our community at the parade on Saturday, or tonight coming down, and in advance of the National Day of Prayer, to be those who would humble ourselves, as the word says, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and his promises, then he would hear and heal. It's time for healing in our nation. It's time for healing in our city. I think it's time for healing in your life. And you know, when healing comes, when we get on God's agenda, when we do the things he says to do, if we need our marriages, our relationships, our jobs, our finances, our health, those things God loves to do, and he says, well, why don't you get on board with me? And we'll do that together. How about that? So I encourage you to come back tonight if you can. And let's on this eve of National Day of Prayer, let's awaken wonder in our city. Amen? Amen? Just stand to your feet this morning with me. This, you know, awakening wonder in your city is something I could preach in my sleep because this is so much my heart. And I hope it gives you an insight today into why we're doing what we're doing here. You realize it's not about revitalizing a downtown, although I'm all for that. That's great. Do it. We want to be a kingdom expression right in the middle of that. We want to bring the heart of God to the heart of the city. And that's what Restoration's mission is. That's why you're here. And I appreciate that. But today I feel like, you know, I've cast a big net. I want you to get excited about loving your city. But I also know that you've come with individual needs. And so I kind of want to bear down on that now. So why don't you close your eyes and bow your head with me. And let's just do some business with the Lord this morning. It's hard to have vision or faith for something outside yourself if you're weighed down with stuff in your own life. I know what that's like. Been there, done that. Got a closet full of t-shirts. You matter to God. I don't care where you're at today. If you think you're doing great, how many of you know that we've never arrived? We've always got something to learn. And if you're hurting today, I'm so glad that you're here because you've come to a place where you have people who know and believe that God is able, no matter what situation you're facing today. You being awakened is the precursor to you awakening your city. Daniel was obviously awakened, or he couldn't have done what he did, to believe the words of Jeremiah the prophet, to put them into practice, to pray for his city, and then to come into a place of favor, even in a pagan culture, to earn a spot of genuine love with the leader of that nation. It's remarkable. It's a miracle. Something only God could do. Well, that's what we need today. We need something that only God could do. If your good works, if living right could get you there, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in, right? So we've all missed it. That's what the Bible says. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short God's standard. But that's why Jesus came. It's not just a good story. It's reality. It's life for you and me today. And if you want to make a difference in the world around you, and I believe you do, or you wouldn't be here, it starts with us being awakened, us being made alive in Jesus so that we can then be a transmitter of that same power. The scripture says that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you if Jesus is there. So today, the first call is to those who say, I need that kind of power. I'm facing something that I've messed up pretty good, and I know I can't do it on my own. I've proven that. I'm looking for something other than me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can know who I'm praying for today? Just slip it up to where I can see it, and then you can put it right back down. Thanks. Appreciate your hands. Anybody else? See, that's what it's about. It's about awakening today. Believers, have we fallen asleep in a culture that we're supposed to be influencing? Have we grown negative and critical? Are we the first to throw rocks? Are we the first to run to the rescue? If you need to repent and say, give me a heart of Daniel today, would you lift your hand? Let me see who I'm praying for today. Hearts of Daniel, Lord, stir them up, raise them up today. God, I thank you for each person today who's come. Lord, I don't know why they're here, but I believe, Lord, that you as the Spirit of God are drawing. You know, as we lift up Jesus, you said you would draw men and women to yourself. Father, that we know you saying your word, that you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. And God, today we confess we've done it wrong. We've gone our own way. Even us who profess Christ have chosen religion over life and love. And would you forgive us today? Would you just say that? Say, Father, forgive me. And today, God, in place of that choosing our own way, would you give us a heart of flesh? Would you take our stony hearts out? Give us hearts of flesh, hearts that weep with you, hearts that are tender to your touch, hearts that see a need in our community, and instead of being critical, Lord, we drop to our knees and we pray, oh God, send your Spirit, Lord, to make a difference in that situation and use me however you will. Pray that too. Say, use me, Lord, however you will. Father, you've heard the confession of our lips today. Thank you, Lord, that each person who said yes to you for the first time, they are a new creature in Christ now. Sons and daughters coming from darkness to light. Prodigals coming home to the Father. Lord, we applaud with heaven today. God, that all around our nation this morning, as churches gather together and lift up the name of Jesus, that revival is happening in our nation right now. And God, we say more on this National Day of Prayer as we approach you, God, to say, bless our nation. We recognize where we've gone far from you, and we cry out, Lord, for a visitation. Lord, would you come and inhabit this nation once more? Turn us back to you as individuals, Lord, as families, as congregations, as communities. God, we hunger to see your Spirit move, Lord, in our nation as never before. In a climate, Lord, that's politically so messed up and charged, where believer is fussing with believer, and it's just a mess, God. Apart from you, we can do nothing of value. But with you, all things are possible. Lord, bless this city with unity among the believers, God. Pray for every pastor, every leader of the congregations, God, in this city, that we represent you with integrity. There be fire in the pulpits once more, God. Be passion for Jesus, love for you, love for your people, love for the people that you died for, Jesus. Men and women who are wandering the streets even now with no hope, God, we're to bring hope to them. That's our job. It's our assignment. And what a privilege, Jesus. The price you paid is certainly worth our allegiance, our cooperation. Let change begin in us today, Father. Awaken our city to how good you are. You're a good Father. You love your church, but you also love this city enough to die for her. We know you love our city more than we do, but we're asking that you increase our love. Increase our love. You just say that also. Say, increase my love. Increase our love, God, for you and for this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.